You're listening to the UFO Radio Network, and this is the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show with your host, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Hello, everybody. It is Friday, so it is, of course, time for Down the Rabbit Hole. Sadly, we don't have Alfred with us today because he is having a court appearance. I'm unsure as to what is going on. Obviously, we hope that he will be back with us next week. But in the meantime, I'd ask you to keep him in your prayers. Also, Dennis Fetcho, who hosts Inside the Eye Live and Inside the Eye Live Primetime. He is having surgery this weekend, so please remember him in your prayers also. So I'm going to bring up my co-host now. Firstly, Alison, are you with me?
I'm here, Andy. Nice to be back again. Hello to everybody. Hello to John and Gertjan and to all the listeners.
Yes, thank you, Alison. And how about Gertjan? Are you with me?
I'm here, Andy, and hello, everybody.
And Alison mentioned John. We have a very special guest today, and this guy he was ahead of all of us. He was writing about 9/11, one of the very first people to do so back in 2002, I think, initially. He is, of course, the legendary John Kaminsky, and I'm delighted on behalf of the three of us to welcome him as our very special guest today. John, are you with me?
Thank you, Andrew, and thank you, Alison and Gertjan. And we are all in our hearts have a little prayer for Alfred Schaefer right now, because his fate is being determined as we talk about it.
Yes. And on that note, John, what would you like to say? You're our guest today, so please, start the show off for us. You know what you.
First, I don't know. Thank you. Thank you to everyone for their efforts of trying to popularize the truth, because the whole world now is suffering from the delusions caused by Jewish media for the last 80 years, 100 years, describing a reality that does not exist, a reality that merely favors them at the expense of everyone else. And one major aspect of this effort, which I like to call a Jewish destabilization template, one major effort is to take control of the media, and by doing so, take control of everyone's minds. They control the music, they control the news, they control the universities, and they control all the newspapers and television outlets, so that a majority of people in the world now believe this Jewish version of world history, which I call the artificial reality. And we are in danger of that from ordinary people who believe in what they have been told, and then who hear us trying to tell them the truth about World War II, and these people, all of these wonderful, brave people have been put in jail for simply trying to tell the truth. And Alfred Schaefer could be today the latest victim of that. His sister Monica, now over 100 days held without charges in a German prison. Many, many others. I don't think they're too numerous to mention, but it is a pretty long list at this point. The bravest and brightest among us have been put in jail for telling the truth about the lies that the Jews have constructed about World War II. And Alison, of course, can give us a firsthand view of what it's like when you run afoul of saying something that they don't want you to say.
Yeah. Well, thanks, John. Yes, I was just saying before we came on air that I've got two more court hearings this month. That will be, I think, the 9th and the 10th time that I've appeared in court. And the first of these hearings is a legal argument session. The judge wanted to hear, I think, perhaps wisely biding his time, he wants to hear closing submissions from both counsel. This was the outcome of the last date in March when I gave my when I was cross-examined in the witness stand. And so the 14th of May, that's a week next Monday, I don't even have to attend this legal argument session, but I am going to, because of course they're talking about me. The prosecutor seems to have somewhat shifted her goalposts since the the cross-examination where it was, oh, you're using echoes around the word survivors because you want to target all Jews, and you're using Jewish melodies because you want to target all Jews, and you're a wicked racist anti-Semite, and you're attacking wonderful people like Irene Zisblatt and Elie Wiesel and the Anne Franks. Well, we've given our submission, and there's a huge pile of documentation. There's a whole book published by Jews stating the facts about Miss Zisblatt, Wiesel, and the Anne Frank diary, etc., and the soap and lampshades. So these final submissions are more concentrated on the fact that I'm just, you know, that I'm an evil hater, and my views have no place in an open and multiracial society, and that I should be thrown in prison. Well, so the last time I went to one of these legal argument hearings, that was last October, where I didn't have to attend but chose to be there anyway, I was arrested and put in jail for 2 days. For a song that there's no charges have been brought against this song. We've played it on the show. It's called Too Extreme for the BNP. It's not a song about the Holocaust. It's a song about nationalism and what's happening to our country, what's happening to Andy and my country here. I was put in prison. So there's that risk. You know, they might try just before the verdict, which will be on the 25th of May, they might arrest me again a week on Monday and, keep me on remand to the verdict. And then, you know, if I'm found guilty, that time will be taken off my sentence. But I'm a little, perhaps a little younger than both of you, John and Gertrude. And we were saying also before the show I was saying that they don't want to put us in a position of victim. And both of you were saying they don't care, they can do what they want. But I would be surprised today if they keep Alfred on remand. They've not done this with other Germans, Henry Hafenmeier, Gerhard Ittner. These people all have bail conditions, I presume. They're not allowed to speak in public. Certainly that's the case of Gerhard Ittner. Hopefully Alfred will be, we will see what happens. We will have news during the course of the day, perhaps from Gerhard or from Sylvia Stoltz. I believe she's advising Alfred. And it will be very interesting to see the outcome of this trial and what Alfred is actually being charged with. I think it's under the section 130. And I believe also that Monica has been charged under that section as well. The video, Monica's video, yes, she is contesting the gas chamber narrative, and that is against the law in Germany. It's absolutely absurd and ridiculous, and we're just asking to see the proof of what's being taught to our children in schools, and the fact that they can take away this delightful middle-aged lady, eloquent, elegant, intelligent, musical, and lock her away, not only away from her family, but away from her own country, just for speaking her mind. We need to keep getting these messages out there and waking up these white liberals who say, oh, but there are limits to free speech. There are limits to free speech. I think Monica's video is you just play them that and say, well, look, you know, this lady's been in jail for 120 days. First they come for the singers. They come for the nice ladies. Wait until it's your turn. Then you might, you know, but then it'll be too late for you, I'm afraid.
Gertrude, well, firstly, I'll just say to everybody that Monica was in jail for 4 months as of yesterday. She was taken in on January the 3rd, so 4 months as of yesterday. Gertrude, anything that you want to say with regard to what Alison and John have said?
Well, free speech is being limited all over the place. I was fired from a job for speaking the truth in the back and was overheard by one of these cucks, one of these cultural Marxified Christian cucks who loves Jews. And so I was fired. So I've had that experience. It's Facebook. They control commentary in a lot of venues, not just Facebook itself. And so if you're banned from Facebook, it's difficult to comment in other venues because it's all channeled through your Facebook account. And so now that I am on 590 days banned from Facebook since 2016, I'm not participating much out there at this time. It's kind of a waste of time. Everything we seem to do, even our program has been hacked. I've been hacked with Jeff Rentz. The Down the Rabbit Hole files have been compromised at one time. Phone calls that he and I have made with each other, we've had compromising issues there. So, they're really hard at it, that entity that believes it's collectively God, and they want to take complete control of this planet. And indeed, they have done a very excellent job of it. Most of us have been completely marginalized, and I certainly feel it. I was feeling really depressed the last couple of weeks. My publisher's out of business, can't get my books out there. I mean, it's all part of the story. We're all being pushed to the edges, and we've all been divided. And gosh, it's getting to be a hard fight out there. But it's a fight that has to be fought, because if we succumb, then that's it. And this planet will become what Donald Trump affectionately refers to third and fourth world countries as, a shithole.
Yes, and it's interesting that you raise the subject of books, because I've bemoaned the fact that there are certain books that I wish I'd have bought, and I recently did a show with Lenora Bryant, who is John Birdman's Bryant's wife, his widow now, sadly. And he had some great books that I always wanted to order, and I thought I could. I never did, and now they're unavailable. I got all the ones I could, but the ones that I really wanted are no longer in print. And the same happened with John Kaminsky, because he had some books years ago when I was following him back in 2002, 2003, and he'd been putting his articles into books. I thought it'd be great to get a signed book by John Kaminsky. But again, I just put it off and put it off and put it off. And so, folks, if you do want to get anything at this stage, whether it's books, whether it's downloading shows, download them, keep your own copies, go and get the books that you want, because you've seen it's not just censorship that happens. You can have a problem like Gertchen has with his publisher. John, of course, focuses more on doing writing online. He has a great website. Is it johnkaminsky.org, John?
Correct.
That's what I thought. Excellent.
And it's a beautiful website, John, by the way. I was looking at it, and it's a very... I like how you've got that laid out with, introductions to the articles, and then you can just click to read more. And the way that's set up, it's beautiful. Very well done.
I had a lot of help, thank God.
Did he come out and give you a hand there, John?
Oh, no, it's a lady, and she knows what she's doing.
She I like the way that the images scroll in the banner. That's really a nice touch.
And
I really like how that draws immediate attention. I've been following your work for a long time. I mean, I've followed Jeff Rentz for like 18 years now. So, you've been a contributor there, and that's where I first learned of you, John. And
I was the main draw there for a period of 03, 04, 05, somewhere in there. And we had a fight about the use of Zionists and Jews. And we came apart at that point, and I always regret that, but I had charted a path. Once I found out that Zionist was being used as a substitute for Jews, just as communists, liberals, feminists, all this other stuff is used to conceal the Jewish participation.
I agree with you, and that's, I think, why I haven't had contact for some time now. Because I use the J word, I identify, the Jew and Zionism and Talmudism and communism and all of it. It's all the same story.
And for Allison to be prosecuted for the they're not even facts so much as they are allusions certain historical events, and she's really poking fun at it. But as we know, we all know by now that Jews have no sense of humor about this.
Yes.
when you walk up to a Jew and say only 273,000 people died in the German labor camps, you see their eyes glaze over. And you can just imagine the mental process that's going on in their head. I'm going to pretend to be nice to this guy and acknowledge what he's saying. But in his mind, he's like plotting his revenge down the road. He's going to ruin your bank account or get you fired from your job or something like that. And it's just, you got to really be careful, as we all know, about dealing with these folks.
Because they'll rise out of their chair because they cannot beat you intellectually. They'll resort to violence, as was a challenge issued to me. I'm about your age, John. And I was calling out this Jew boy that was brought to my table in front of a coffee shop a couple summers ago when Israel was bombing, one of the times it was bombing Gaza. And I was really a ticked off over that, and I realized this was a Jew boy, and I you know, started discussing this with him, and he became more and more angry. Eventually, this 30-something muscular, you know, and I'm a scholar, I'm not Arnold Schwarzenegger, and then he, you know, was going to challenge me to fisticuffs in the back alley because, you know, he couldn't win the argument, and I shouted him down loud. I have a powerful voice, so, you know, lots of people on the sidewalk, cafes and so on heard that confrontation. And now I am banned from the Jewish bookstore downtown, so my books are no longer welcome there.
Congratulations. Yeah. When this subject comes up, the image that springs into my mind is what they did to Forreston in the Professor Forreston in the late 80s, where he was attacked by a gang of Jewish thugs and they like totally rearranged his face, and the pictures are just awful. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of what the Jews do to Palestinians in Gaza and places like that.
I can have a rant at my own government, our own government here, Theresa May, the French President Macron, and Donald Trump, who recently bombed Syria. They claimed that Assad had used chemical weapons against his country. But in that war, in the Gaza war of 2014, we saw white phosphorus. That's these spray bombs, white phosphorus spray bombs. Those are chemical weapons. That was definitely the Israeli Defense Forces who launched these weapons against the Palestinians. Therefore, there's proof in this case that it was Israel. Did we see bombs from the US, from France and the UK attacking Israel? No, they bombed Assad on no evidence. There's no evidence that Assad used chemical weapons against his own country. These people, they are just, we are ruled by demonic hypocrites. You know, it's just, oh.
Well, they also
people need to start getting very angry, I think.
The only thing I'd throw in there quickly is that there was all this condemnation of Assad, and we're going to have to bomb him because he's been attacking innocent civilians. But there's been no attacks on Israel for their constant attacks of these Palestinians, you know, literally shooting children, and they were actually targeting members of the press as well. John, you'll have been following that. What's your comment on what's been happening there?
This is the third time that they have floated this Assad is gassing his own children story. This is episode number 3. The first two were eventually successfully refuted and now have gone down the memory hole. But they did this third one where it was proven that the video evidence was produced by the white helmets who are over there acting as fake helpers for the CIA, and it's like it's so obviously a fraud, and yet the news, Lester Holt on NBC News and the evening news, always uses, almost every newscast, he mentions the magic number 6 million, where 6 million Jews were killed. And I always want to say to Lester, what about the sign at Auschwitz? And the concept of Jewish mathematics, where they reduced the sign at Auschwitz from 4 million dead to 1.4 million dead, and yet we're still talking about 6 million Jews who were killed in World War II. That's Jewish math.
And we're still talking about gas. Yeah, we're still talking about gas.
And the other thing is very quickly.
Jews are obsessed with gas.
Just very quickly hold on, Gertjan, I just wanted to say that what I have noticed, and I think, and Gertjan, come in after this, please, is that what I've been seeing in court transcripts now is they're not using the 6 million figure when it comes to legal argument. They're saying millions died. They've reduced it to millions because one thing that they simply can't refute is that the plaque was changed. So the reduction was by 2.5 million, and so it should be 3.5 if you deduct that from the 6. And so now they're just calling it millions died. Gertjan, sorry to jump in. Please continue.
No, that's all good. That's what we're doing. We are having a conversation. So it's interesting how obsessed the Jews are with this 6 million figure, which we saw already spoken of in the early 20th century. In fact, I think it was in 1918, there was a pamphlet talking about, these 6 million suffering Judaics in Europe. But even if it was 6 million, they are obsessed with numbers. So let's take a look at numbers. 54 million Christians died in the Second World Jewish War. 145 million likely were horribly murdered, Russian Christians under the Jewish Bolsheviks. Under the Jewish-led Chinese government, led by Mao Zedong, upwards of 60 million Chinese people were killed. So, even if the 6 million figure was true, it is a tiny little number compared to the number of people that have been horrifically murdered by the Judaic entity. And so how dare they even hang that out in front of us? And people that have been buying into it should be ashamed of themselves that they have accepted this lie to be truth. There is a wonderful photograph of the third stooge of Jewish intellectualism, Albert Einstein, standing in front of a blackboard, and he has the number 6 minus the number 3, and it equals 6. That's Jewish mathematics,
Is that the
same? Other thing I just wanted to quickly say is the Jews hate it when we make fun of them, and so really should make lots of fun of them because they pretend to be so intelligent. They're just better organized, but they're so full of hubris. They screw up a lot, and then they put out people like He Lied the Weasel in front of us. Even the names they choose are kind of like an antagonism and Goyim, we're laughing at you. Eli Weasel, He Lie the Weasel. The weasel lies,
No mention of any gas chambers in Weasel's first edition of his book, Night. And if the Germans were so evil and so wicked, why did he and his father allegedly choose to leave with their persecutors rather than staying behind to be liberated by the Russian Red Army, the Soviet Red Army, excuse me? Yeah, it's my songs, my songs, there's nothing that's not already been reported in my songs. I didn't invent these facts. You can see Irene Zisblatt speaking in the Spielberg records of all these 50,000 Holocaust survivors that he recorded. You can see her telling all these tales. Oh yeah, Mengele, he wanted to experiment on me, and he tried to make my brown eyes blue, and they wanted to make a lampshade from my skin. I mean, she's on video film saying all these things. I didn't invent it, And the soap and lampshades. The prosecutor was going for me, saying, oh, yes, but you want all, you wanted the Holocaust to happen. It was all just, no, I'm sorry, prosecutor, you can't take, it's a song. You can't take one line of the song out of context and use that to try and accuse me of being a wicked racist. I'm sorry, these soap and lampshade tales have all been refuted by the Auschwitz Museum and by Yad Vashem, the memorial to the Holocaust in Jerusalem. I mean, come on, we've got satire. Yes, satire and humour, they really don't like that because that's what they've used to undermine our traditions and our heritage. You know, there's plenty of YouTube videos that use Christmas carol music, sacred music, and claim that Jesus was gay, was born from a donkey. I also mentioned this in course. There's nothing in my songs that hasn't already been reported. They just don't like the way the message is being put across musically, 3 or 4 minutes. There you go. I was reading a forum the other day about survivors when it first came out, when I was first taken to court, and one comment says, oh, I didn't know that Otto Frank had been made or co-author of Anne Frank's Diary. This song has just red-pilled me. That's what they're worried about. That's why they need to censor people like us. That the censorship that I'm ongoing is utterly perfidious. Even my comments don't show up on other people's channels, let alone my own channel and my own songs, which are invariably banned. I've got a lovely little video. I was hill-walking last weekend. I've got a lovely little video of a lamb, which is so young, it's not yet developed its fear of human beings. And it was snoozing in the grass. And as I approached, it got up and ran towards me and then realised, you know, I wasn't its mother and turned around. But I've got a little video clip. If I put that on YouTube, they will censor that too. It's just extraordinary.
Yes, and just very quickly before we bring John back in, this is an article from the Jerusalem Post from April the 29th, so about 5 days ago. Steven Spielberg urges mandatory Holocaust education. At a panel discussion over the weekend marking 25 years since the release of Schindler's List, director Steven Spielberg said that every public high school in the United States should be required to teach the Holocaust. It's not a prerequisite to graduate high school as it should be, Spielberg said during the panel discussion held after a special screening of his 1993 film at the Tribeca Film Festival. It should be part of the social studies curriculum in every public high school in this country. John, feel free to comment on that or take us in any other direction you choose.
It's important to remember that Schindler's List is a work of fiction. And it's presented by Spielberg as historical fact in that movie, which is basically what the Jews have done with all of history throughout time. We focus on the 20th century. I know millennials can't focus on the rest of the year, but it's like this is a long standard pattern that I'm trying to make people realize that Jews have taken control of this country first, by taking control of the money, which is their main aptitude. They have invented this system where they create money out of nothing and then charge us for it. And this is exactly what has brought the country to the, I guess we're well beyond the brink of bankruptcy. We're in some never, never land where they just keep printing money and nobody knows why it's worth anything. Well, one day soon, we're going to find out when all the other countries abandon the United States currency, which is happening as we speak. But I was thinking when you guys were talking that this whole anti-Semitism thing, people don't understand that this is a smokescreen for Jewish crimes across the board. It starts with the money, but that enables them to buy both the media and the politicians. And today, in America, where we're supposed to be the land of the free speech, we have government and the media that supposedly cover it saying exactly the same thing. There's no recognition that the United States intelligence agencies, in combination with the Mossad, created not only Al-Qaeda for Afghanistan purposes, but they also created ISIS. And now Trump will get on television now and he'll say, we're fighting ISIS. But damn it, Trump and the United States are funding ISIS. So we've created our own enemies. And this is a Jewish stratagem that has infected all countries. And the only countries they haven't conquered now are basically Iran. I mean, North Korea is some kind of social experiment. I can't figure out what it is, but I'm a believer in the fact that this is a CIA setup, and we've always controlled North Korea just for possible use as a punching bag in the future. Because the thing that Americans are just now starting to realize is that America has existed and prospered based on war, based on the sale of weapons, and based on waging wars against other people who don't have a chance against them. So we're in a situation now where if we don't defeat this Jewish attempt at establishing their artificial reality upon the world, which is just about complete, then we can expect nothing but a future of slavery and not being able to say what we really need to say.
Thank you, John. Gertchen, do you want to jump in?
Oh, the slavery thing. It's what they are trying to reduce everybody down to was very well depicted in George Orwell's famous book in 1984, and the brilliant film version with Burton and John Hurt. You know, that kind of a reality, that a whole bunch of people living in tiny circumstances, shared bathrooms and kitchens like it was in the former USSR. That's what Agenda 21 is all about. And it's the Judaic entity that's pushing all of it. They can control us very well in these compact urban centers. You know, look at how they're pushing driverless cars, and look at how more and more they're pushing with their Jews media the idea that white men are somehow incompetent buffoons. And so they're completely undermining the masculine spirit that used to be so strong in Germany, for example. Now a whole lot of German men are very sad reflections of what a German male is supposed to be. And so they, the Jewish entity headed by the Angel of Death, the exact antithesis of the great Adolf Hitler, Angela Merkel, you know, she is doing a and her government, I mean, remember, she's just a puppet after all, but they are very rapidly dismantling the heart and soul of Europe. They've already done tremendous work with some of the appendages. Sweden is now lost, pretty much. Even the police there have given up. It's now suffocating under the blanket of Islam. And that's kind of what's in store for all of us if we don't start waking up. Well, it's already past due to be waking up. The time is now to take action. And people realize that just because this is the 21st century and we have jet planes and laptop computers and all of that, how is this any different, really, spiritually, intellectually, than other times in the past when things got nasty? And people had to resort to what tools were at hand to bring back control of the out of control government. And I mean, indeed, that is what the Second Amendment in the United States Constitution is all about. It's to have arms, to have firearms, to form a militia to overcome an oppressive government. Is that not so, John?
I just had a million thoughts.
I'm glad.
One of the things that's happened in this country recently that's very disturbing is this fake shooting. All the shootings have been fake. The fake shooting in Florida, Parkland, Florida. Since then, two deputies have mysteriously committed suicide. Interesting to note. But the worst that came out of that was this prearranged nationwide rally of students begging people to give up their guns. And this is, oh God.
I know.
I think humanity could become this twisted, but apparently we have. So here we have Oprah and George Clooney and Bill Gates and whoever else contributing $5 million to this pot to get all of these children together to protest gun ownership as the cause of the Parkland shooting. Well, the cause of the Parkland shooting was the Mossad, because Parkland is a wholly run Jewish town suburb of Miami, and they set this whole thing up. It looks like no one was killed there, and it looks like they got this one patsy for whatever reason to admit to the crime. So here we have our flower of youth preaching to coming together in a massive rally to destroy freedom in the United States, which, of course, they don't realize, because they go to schools that have been given them a Jewish education. And all the people in the world are equal. African from South Africa is equal to a PhD from some non-Jewish university in the United States, if there are any. This is totally wrong. It's like all structures are being destroyed and melting into a Jewish superstructure throughout the world, which will resemble a giant prison. And the people who populate this giant prison won't really even know they're in a prison because they haven't received the necessary education to teach them that they have been deceived. And that's our job. And we're, I don't think we have a shot, but that's not going to stop any of us from doing it because it's our last best hope to avoid a future where there are really no humans as we know them today. They'll only be like organic response mechanisms following the paths of education that have been given to them almost at birth, because now, you know, you get the hepatitis B vaccine 45 seconds after hepatitis C vaccine, 45 minutes after birth. If your baby's born in a hospital, you can't get the kid out of the hospital without getting that shot. And that leads to this whole complex of shots by the time they're like 5 years old that guarantees some brain damage down the line. And if that doesn't work, we have a school system now that's teaching first graders about homosexuality. And by the time these kids get to puberty, they have become who the millennials are now. They're like totally promiscuous. They have no career plans, no plans for a family. That's what the Jews want. They want white kids to have no plans for a family, and that's all part of their war on the white race.
And covered in tattoos.
Yeah,
covered
exactly.
In tattoos, so they'll make good lampshades.
And Alison, let's because we've got about just under 20 minutes left, folks, and I know that Gertchen wanted to bring up South Africa, and Alison had probably a shorter story first. John mentioned about how all these things are regarded as equal in the United States, whether you get a PhD from, you know, Kazakhstan and you can bring it over, etc., etc. But we're actually, we're not quite equal if you're white in the UK. That story that you had for us about the burials?
Yes, there was a story. It was a story that began last December. A coroner of one of the London boroughs, a woman, I forget her name, but she'd been receiving complaints from Jews and Muslims that their dead weren't being buried quickly enough. And this coroner said, "I'm sorry, you know, there's a queue. You have to join the queue. We're not going to start discriminating. It's first come. It's a system of first come, first served. That's what equality is all about." And a Jewish association, something Yisrael, not exactly sure of they took this coroner and her department to court, and she was overruled by an Indian High Court judge, a British of Indian origin, saying that she now has to give preference to Jews and Muslims. I think a Muslim has to be buried within 4 days or something, and it's pretty similar for Jews. So. No, we're being discriminated against even when we're dead. I think I must write a song about this because, you know, it's impossible to defame the dead, isn't it? You can't defame the dead. I'm going to have to write a very black humour song about this because it's just... what's the prophecy? The prophecy, we're talking about slavery, 2,700 slaves or something for every Jew. We're getting towards that. And just a quick comment on Spielberg. And he was supposed to have funded Deborah Lipstadt's defence when David Irving sued her and Penguin Books back in 2000, was it? He was supposed to have given her all her money. And she never spoke, did she? She never opened her mouth once in these 6 months proceedings or however long it was. Yes, Holocaust education, we all know why they need that. They need to inculcate these children at the earliest possible age. And yes, it's a sad situation that we are so infiltrated and that our leaders are the ones imposing all this on us. They're traitors. Yeah, get the rope out.
And you said about you can't, that's okay, you said that you can't defame the dead. You just reminded me of a Jewish author called Albert Goldman, that I'm sure Gertjan and John will be familiar with. He wrote the book The Lives of John Lennon, which Paul McCartney said was absolute trash. And then he wrote, I think, a book about Elvis as well. And he had this habit of writing books about, you know, famous celebrities who were dead and then coming out with all this unsavoury information about them. Had you heard of this guy, John?
I vaguely have. I try to keep all Jewish information out of my own mental database. So a lot of people you might cite, I might not know. But unfortunately, you know, when I first started being clued into the Protocols of Zion, I couldn't read them for more than 15 minutes. I'd get nauseous. You know, I couldn't believe people were this way. And it took me like a year to go through the whole thing. And it's like, so now I have, you can't argue with anybody who's Jewish. You will never convince them. They are immune to reason, and they are like somehow pre-programmed to defend their tribe above all else, even their own family. Because if they betray the Jewish mission, they'll be excommunicated. And then where will they be? They'll be outcast. This was particularly true in Brooklyn, which is right off the top of my head here, where they had the big scandals of old Jewish rabbis molesting 7-year-old boys in these bathhouses in Brooklyn. And when somebody tried to turn them in, the cops not only wouldn't prosecute, but this person was excommunicated from their neighborhood and cast out. And that whole complex of Jewish communities around New York City, I mean, it's like a foreign country in some of these places, like Monsey, New York is totally, you go through Monsey, New York, and there's all these Hasids walking along the street with thousands of dollars in their pocket because they don't believe in bank accounts. It's just very weird.
Hasidim.
So, yeah, there's, they stick together, they put their tribal interests above all else, and that is what has made them so successful.
Yeah, it
is. And if, you know, that we have to do the same. And unfortunately, we're not programmed to do that.
Well, we're not a single ethnicity society. It would have been much easier for Germany to do it because everybody was Germans. But the Jews got the whole world to gang up on Germany, and they simply did it by bribing everyone. That's what they do. And Germany never had a chance because they couldn't bribe as many countries as international Jewry could. You have to remember that the Jews really took over the world in 1848 when they had these revolutions in every country. Mm-hmm. And Marx wrote his books. I forget which book it was he wrote then, but it was interesting. Yeah, it was interesting. He wrote the book Capital and never mentioned the Rothschilds. Imagine that.
Yes, and Gertjan, we've got about 13 minutes left. So give us a brief introduction to the current situation going on in South Africa, because I really want to hear first John's and then Alison's comments on this. Over to you, Gertjan.
We'll keep it short. Yesterday's news coming from South Africa, white man was grabbed in Pretoria. His hands and feet were bound and he was burned alive in his own car. That's what's going on in South Africa, ladies and gentlemen. There is an overt genocide going on, and that is the official policy of the ANC government there. A government that is led by the nose, by the Jewish entity, a whole bunch of chimp hybrids, usurpers, the descendants of Negroes that came down from sub-Saharan Central Africa with no legitimate claims to anything in South Africa. They are now claiming ownership of the land and all property belonging to white people, which is now being stolen, has been already for some time, without recompense. And white people are being relegated to living in squatter camps in very dire conditions. Less than 4 million white people surrounded by 40 million Negroes. And Negroes from Africa have an average IQ of 75 or less. And they still are cannibals. And they still practice magic, juju, and mumbo jumbo. And oh my goodness, things are unfolding in a very, very negative way in South Africa. There is hope, the sovereign state of Good Hope, that is an attempt to secede about half of South Africa away from the ANC-controlled northern areas. But so far, that wonderful idea has not seen fruition, because to realize it, that's a very difficult task, given the fact that the ANC controls the armories of South Africa. And so, you know, the Khoisan King and the people that are supporting that venture, they have a very difficult struggle ahead. And if the white people there don't get on side, they could very well see their demise in South Africa. It's a real wonder to me that the American government, well, it isn't a wonder to me, because we know who controls the United States. And genociding the white race is a part of the Judaic agenda. They have been very overt about it. Indeed, you guys mentioned the protocols of the learned elders. It's all very well spelled out in there what the master plan is. And so nobody is surprised. But, you know, if the might of the United States was to go behind the attempt to, say, stop that genocide in South Africa, then it could very well be done. But I don't think there's any will to do that. And so I have a really bad feeling about how things are unfolding in South Africa, when officials of the government are openly singing, "Kill Whitey, kill the Boer." Now, if it was us singing "Kill the Nigger" song, you know, we would be prosecuted, you see. And so that is the problem that we are faced with. We white people are generally, collectively, somewhat of a laughing stock as far as history is concerned, this particular generation, you know, with a few exceptions. But in general, the people have been reduced to becoming these spineless wimps. And Christianity is a significant factor here. Over 40,000 Christian sects, no cohesive Christian army whatsoever to fight against the oppressors. And that's why now they are gaining the momentum that they're gaining. The thing is that...
I have an update on the South Africa story. The king of Khoisan.
Yeah, Khoisan, yeah.
He went to the UN.
Yes, he did.
He went to the UN with Karen Smith, who's a white refugee from South Africa. They didn't get what they wanted. He was proposing, since he's one of the original inhabitants, his family line is the original inhabitants, he wanted a protectorate, a UN protectorate, where white people would be safe, and he was shot down by the UN.
He wasn't even received. They wouldn't even receive him. I mean, Karen is a friend of mine, and so because I run Radio Free South Africa for her, and so I'm right in on that story, John. They went there. They were not even received. They did, but what they did was delivered their paperwork and also sent it registered mail. But the United Nations is also a Jew-controlled entity, and, you know, their agenda is Agenda 21. And so, you know, reducing our numbers is a significant part of it. And so they have absolutely no interest in supporting the king.
Well, then you know what Karen said, which was she didn't think a single white person would survive in South Africa.
Yeah, that's why I've been so demoralized the last 3 weeks or so. I have direct contact with Queen Jenny of the Khoisan and so via email. And so she really appreciates some of my Down a Rabbit Hole articles pertaining to South Africa. But... I have really, really bad feelings. There are some attempts, like, for example, the Zuidlanders under Mr. Roche, Simon Roche. They wanted to set up some kind of a little enclave for white people, but they're all disarmed. And again, they're a little enclave of disarmed white people surrounded by 40 million Negroes. It's an insanity. There's no bloody way that Zuidlanders are going. And then there's Oranje, which is a city, a town where it's, you know, white people are in charge, but how long are they going to keep those hordes away? You know, I think one of the most interesting scenes that people should reflect upon is that guy left in the helicopter in that film Black Hawk Down, and he runs out of ammunition and the horde just keeps coming. You know, well, that's where it's at. Yep. And that's what we're faced with. And so, you know, unless we are prepared to get nasty, you know, we are facing a very, very serious and dire future. And I'm really, really feeling it. And so it's difficult to concentrate on, you know, stuff that I've got sitting on my desk. And yeah, and I'm thinking a lot of people are feeling it. But let's not let that get us down. I mean, the fact that you feel those things, I mean, you know, that's a good sign, because it means that you are paying attention. If you weren't feeling that, then you're not conscious.
That's right.
But you got to realize that the enemy is what it is. We've clearly identified the enemy. We're not afraid to point fingers in that direction. And that's what everybody needs to start doing. And let's start calling them out. And let's start addressing them with some more, shall I say, extreme prejudice.
Well, let's.
I think that's a polite way of putting it, hey Andy, without mentioning ropes and bullets or anything. I'm just.
Let's bring Alison in now. Alison, you obviously, Gertjan and John were talking a fair bit about the South Africa situation. The way I see it is that that's a testing ground for all the other white nations. Anything that you want to say regarding what John and Gertjan were talking about there?
Well, yes, the UN, are strictly kosher since 1948. That's an important date, of course. The UN logo takes the same logo, or the background at least, as the Nuremberg Military Tribunal. So I don't have much faith in any of these bodies, because they pay lip service to this idea of quote democracy, which, you know, there's nothing more laughable. And yes, we have the news this week in the UK of we're going to have a Stephen Lawrence Memorial Day. For the listener, Stephen Lawrence was a black teenager, probably involved in some kind of drug dealing, that was stabbed in a supposedly racially motivated attack. His parents have been made, or his mother has been made, a peer of the realm. Yet we have a British soldier, you know, British soldiers, for example, Lee Rigby, who was beheaded by an Islamist in the streets of London. We're not going to see a Memorial Day for him because he's white. And the only reason we're getting a Memorial Day for Stephen Lawrence is because he's black. And that will be on every year on April the 22nd, which is the day before the English National Day, St. George's Day. And I wonder if the government has done this because they see a revival in interest for these national days. And they must, nationalism must be quashed at all costs, apart from when it comes to the Jewish Zionist state of Israel, who have all the rights.
Thank you, Alison. And John, we've got 2-3 minutes left, so any closing statements from yourself, please?
Think of how many wars we could avert if we bombed Israel first.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, or a new New York and Miami. There's another, and the city of London.
Well, that's what get thing. Many years ago, I had an opportunity to have an interview on the NPR radio station in San Francisco. Bonnie Faulkner, who does a show, Guns and Butter. It's a liberal, democratic, pro-Jew show. And I don't even know if they broadcast it. I know I did the interview, but it was in the middle of the night. I never got a tape. But what I said then has been true all this time. And this interview was like in 2005 or 6. It is the Jews in the United States who are behind all of this. They are the real problem, and they remain untouchable because they own the media, they own the networks, they own the politicians, they own the major industries. George Bush's outfit bought all of the transportation in the world. They got their fingers into all of that, so you can't ship anything that they don't know about. it's like it's total control. And if these people who are walking around who have no cognizance of what the Jewish, it isn't even a threat anymore. It's a program to exterminate everyone else via glyphosate, via radioactivity in the atmosphere, via Jewish doctors who prescribe, like Jonas Salk, who create a polio vaccine that has a time bomb of cancer hidden within it that develops like 30 years later. It goes on and on. And it's 360 degrees, and it's really totally understandable that the Jews just sit back and laugh about how stupid the Goyim really are, because they have put so much over on us. They've taken all our money, and they have not only prohibited speech, but they have prohibited thoughts about certain things. A couple of stories ago, I wrote a story, "Your thoughts are not permitted anymore." We're not permitted to talk about this stuff. There will be repercussions for it. And we, all of us, are saying, "The hell with that! We got to do what we got to do." And it's like, if there's anybody with a chance to restore truth in the world, it's us, because everywhere else we turn, we're especially among journalists who are still working for big organizations, they don't tell the truth. They can't tell the truth, or they lose their jobs. And it's up to us to make them lose their jobs by making the truth we're telling, the ascended truth in the world. And that, as a task right now, that's pretty much impossible. But that's not going to stop us, because that's our only choice.
Thank you very much, John. Thank you very much, Alison and Gertchen, for joining me today. Again, folks, please keep Alfred and Monica in your prayers. We don't know the current situation with Alfred. We very much hope that he will be with us again next week when we will be back. I will, of course, be back with you all tomorrow. And until then, bye for now.
You have been listening to the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show on the Eurofolk Radio Network. Andrew's book, The Synagogue of Satan, is now available on his website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, in an updated, expanded, and uncensored edition.